Let's go for it. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, that saints we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. All right. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. We've read the scripture over and over again. And I'm going to go there again. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, with what their power is, what authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, it says in verse 19, in that authority, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay? So, Jesus gives an instruction to make people disciples. However, we said over and over that Jesus doesn't give an instruction to open churches. Is that true? Yeah, so Jesus gave an instruction to make disciples of all nations. And go back all the way to chapter 16, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the what? The living God. Can we read verse 17 together? 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. So what is God's promise, or Jesus' promise from verse 18? I will what? I will build. You know the song we sang today? Right? Did that song come alive to some of you? Right? When we bind and lose, we proclaim your truth. Remember I talked about what binding and losing is? I said binding and losing is not about casting out of what? Demons. Okay, so the bind and loose is a narrative to speak about the preaching of forgiveness of sins to man. Are we together? John will say, whosoever sins you retain, whosoever sins you remit, so shall it be unto them. Right? So when we bind and loose, we are proclaiming the truth of the gospel, and in Jesus' name we will not fail. Right? You see, if you notice the song as well we sang today, we saw the flow between build your church and build your church. All together, because there is the build your church part, and there is the build your church part. The build your church is an ongoing work. The build your church is, whilst an ongoing work, a work that is completed by the resurrection. So the resurrection will be the foundation for the church that God is building. So when Jesus says, I will build my church, is both a present, continuous, and finished. You must see it in both terms. Right? So, what is Jesus building? His church. What is the word church? We've talked that before. Ecclesia. What is ecclesia? People who are called out and they are brought into. Yeah, the church will be people who are called out from and they are brought into. That means they are called out from and they are brought into. Right? So, God is building a called out people. Right? God is building a called out people. God is building a called out people. How else can we say God is building a called out people? We can say God is building a community. All together. God is building a community. God is building a community. God is building a community. Right? God is building a community. Let me tell you something today. Right? The resurrection of Jesus ought to always be seen from a community perspective. Yeah? The resurrection of Jesus ought to be seen from a community perspective. So it means that a man that is born again is called to be a part of a community. Yeah? Part of a community. No, there's something. There's something we need to pay attention to when we talk about community at the church. Some of us have the wrong interpretation of community, and what we see as community is just what we use to fuel our selfish desires. Are we together? Right? You know, someone can hear me say that, oh, we are called into a community, community is important. And the reason why, for instance, you don't join a local church, for instance, who you think or where you think you will learn more, is because maybe when you give birth, you have another community of elderly people who can come and take care of a child for you. Yeah? That same community from a selfish point of view. Right? You see a community of people who are given to the things of the Spirit. You see a community of people who are given to the things of the ability of the Spirit. And rather than go there where you will learn, you can hide it behind anything. Right? You can say, oh, I like the kind of cars that are coming to this community. So it means that the people that are in this church will be influential. So it means that no matter what comes to us, I will be able to get someone that will give me a job in this community. Yeah? And after all, you will validate your selfishness with, after all, it's a community. Are we together? But when you pay attention to scriptures, you realize what the community is for. Let me show you what it's for. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. You'll realize what the community is for. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 25. You look at Hebrews 10, verse 22. Bible says, let us draw near. Now, the us there will be a people. Is that true? Yeah? The us there will be a people. It says, let us. If you go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he had what? Are you there? Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are. Is it he has perfected you that are sanctified? It is what? A them. What is them? People. Are we together? He has perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Altogether, right? So it is a them that are sanctified by Jesus. That means it is a community of people that are sanctified by Jesus. So every man who is born again, every woman who is born again, has been called into a what? A community. See, I've been called into a community. See, I've been called into a community. Right? So everyone has been called into a community. Right, so it means that in the real sense, we must see that we are a people, not I am a people. Are we here? It is we are a people, not I am. So when you say I am sanctified, you must always remember that in your I being sanctified, it is involving a we or a them or a they. What I'm saying looks casual, but I can tell you for free that if you don't see this well, that is what makes the selfish Christianity that we practice. Are we together? So people believe that. I've not noticed that people see God, people see themselves as the best child of God. How did we get there? I've not seen a Christian going to pray to God to fight another Christian. Does it happen? A Christian will go to God and pray to God in prayer, and the prayer point is to fight another Christian. Let me put for you in context. A child of God is going to meet his father and wanting to recruit his father to fight another of his father's child. So, they've told us those kind of things. You are the apple. How many of you are the apple of God's eye? You are the apple of God's eye. Without you, God does not blink. Yeah? You see, I am Abba's favorite. You don't need that. You don't need that. It's carnal. It's carnal. You know, and unfortunately, we have a lot of work to do. When you see me talk the way I do, it's because we have work to do. You see a lady or a brother, right, with a picture and a ridiculous picture, and the caption is Abba's favorite. You see a lady who is half naked or probably naked. Right? With the hashtag gospel revival. You go to a lady's page, the hashtag is, the main page is gospel bride child, the beloved of God. Right? But you have 55 pictures. And if another sister goes to that page, or if another sister finds her husband on that page, they will fight. You know there are some pages that when you, and there's some pages when I'm with my wife, for instance, it's just, it's normal. Yeah? There's some pages, you think I'm not frank. There's some pages that when I'm, just, the page can appear in front of me. Right? God forbid that it is the time it just appeared and I'm about to zoom. My wife just captures the moment. She might not say anything. Yeah? So, once I just see those kind of things, if you look at the list of people I have muted on my page, it will shock you. In fact, it gets to the point some people post me to thank me for their impact in their life. My impact in their life. But I don't see it. And because they are muted, though. Yeah? I must guard my heart. Yeah? If you are standing with God, stand with God with your full chest. You know what? I've spoken to nothing less than 20 ladies in our generation right now in the last 2-3 years. And I found out that majority of our ladies are looking for, you know the man called Pastor Adeboye? You know Pastor Adeboye? Or Bishop Oyedepo? Yeah? A lot of us are looking for Pastor Adeboye with a little sprinkle of whiskey. Yeah? You're looking for Bishop Oyedepo with a little touch of burner. I know it's unfortunate a lot of our ladies are not even shy to say it again. And sometimes when I probe for her to find out, I actually realize that they are looking for burner with a little sprinkle of bishop. That's what the world has put us in today. You're going to stand for God, you stand for God with your full chest. There's a lifestyle that's expected from someone who stands for God. Don't give people double signals. Anyway, that's what I'm teaching today. But how do you learn all of these things? So, we are perfect. So, I went on to alter that narrative because a lot of people have just made themselves God favorite. Yes, we know your sins are forgiven. Yes, we know how you relate or how you act is not how God sees you. Or that's not how God reads you. That's not how God relates with you. But the fact remains that you are born again into an expectation. Are we together? Yeah? You see, when we're talking today in the morning, we're talking about how free we are. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. But Paul will say, do not allow this freedom of yours to serve as a stumbling block to another. Right? Paul will say, regulate your freedom. So the freedom we have is actually a bondage. Galatians. The freedom we have by the resurrection is a bondage. It means that there are lots of things our friends will do. There are lots of things our colleagues will do. We ought not be found in those things. But look at what Paul says. He says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Now let's read verse 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For he is what? Faithful that promised. Look at 24 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And let us consider one another to provoke unto what? So, unto love and to good work. So, are we supposed to provoke ourselves? So, if I provoke you, what am I supposed to provoke you to do? Provoke you to love and what? Good works. Are we here? Right? So, he says, let us provoke one another unto love. Now, look at 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Not forsaking the assembly together of what? Of ourselves. What's the next statement there? As the manner of what some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, what does it mean to forsake the assembly together of ourselves? What does it mean to forsake? It means to despise the community, or to despise the coming together of the community. Are you with me? Yeah, not forsaking the assembly. That assembly, there's a word that has to do with a festival or a coming together with a festival approach. Right, you are coming together. Right, do not forsake the gathering, the assembling together of what? Of ourselves. Who are the ourselves? They are those the ones that are sanctified. Yeah. Are those the ones that are sanctified? Yeah. So he has perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. So we are those who are sanctified, and the sanctification we have received, we are those who have been called into the community. But there's something he says there. He says, not forsaking the assembly together of ourselves as the manner of some is. So what he says, as the manner of some is, it means there are some that forsake the gathering of together, the gathering, the assembling of ourselves together. Are there people who say they don't go to church? Yeah. Yeah? So somebody who says, I'm a Christian, I don't go to church. Who is that person? Still a Christian. But somebody who is forsaking. Yeah? You know, I've taught you before about the universal church and the local church. I would say the universal church is about the entire body of Christ. And the local church is people that are members of the universal church within a local environment. So these are not the only people who are saved in Edinburgh. Yeah? And that is why, as I'm talking right now, there are different centers in different places in the same Edinburgh where people who are saved as you are meeting together. Yeah? So, look at this. If I always tell you, if a hospital doesn't treat your child well and your child is very sick, what do you do? Yeah, you look for another hospital. If a school treats your child badly, maybe they give a racial abuse to your child or they do something about your child, what's the solution to that? Right? You don't say, because that's how they insulted you in that school, come and stay in the house. No. Right? You look for another school. So the solution to a church that hurts, a solution to a hospital that hurts or that does not treat well is another hospital. Have you noticed when it comes to school, when it comes to hospital, when it comes to jobs, if your job is treating you bad, you say your mental health is not mental, it's not mentally. Your mental health is not mentally. What do? You look for another job. How many of you, your job is not mentally, but you stay at home? Say, I'm the child of my papa. Eh? You are the child of your papa. But what do? You look for another job so that you don't sleep under the cold with the papa in you. God is in you. If you don't pay your rent and they chase you out, God will not remain in the house, man. God is in you. If it's under the bridge you end up, God is in you. If it's on the bridge you are coming to church, God is in you. Whatever in you. So if you want to put God in you, in a place to sleep well, and your body to sleep, what do you do? When they sack you, or when they know, when you're not treating your, they don't balance my work-life balance. My work-life balance is not balancing. What do you do? You look for another work. I've not noticed, it's the work you will find first before life. You look for another work. And when you find the work, you start finding the life. They cannot see work-life balance. Yeah? So, how come is it work of the devil? See, one of the greatest things the devil wants to do to us as saints is to make you isolated. One of the greatest things the devil wants to do to you is to make you isolated. To make you isolated. Are we together? To make you isolated. So the question now becomes, if for instance, if we're an army together and we're going to the battlefield and they want to get one person, what's the best thing they can do to get that one person? Make the one person stand alone. And what happens? You can attack. That's the work of the devil. So, let me note this in your notes. When the devil starts looking for how to play with your relationships, he's after you. When the devil starts looking for how to play with your relationships, he's after you.
altogether.
Yeah. So one of the things you must guard the most in your Christian journey will be what? Your relationships.
Are we together?
Your relationships. So what we're going to start looking at from today is what I told you we'll start looking at. Supernatural what? Relationships. So it says, not forsaking the assembling together. So we are people from diverse backgrounds. We are people from diverse upbringings. We are people from various nations and tribes. But we are now united by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26, okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Are you there? Can we read verse 26 together? 1, 2, 3, go. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have what? You have put on Christ. Let's read the next verse together. 28, 1, 2, 3, go. There is, there saints. 1, 2, 3, go. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ. I heard somebody speaking the other day saying that, because the Bible says we are neither male nor female. I'm no longer a man. Don't address me as him, he. There's neither male nor what? Female. Altogether, there's neither male nor female. Yeah? Now, let me explain what that scripture really means. It doesn't mean your gender changes because you are born again. Amen? Amen. The Bible in no way supports gender changing. About Jesus. Yeah, there's everything wrong with a mindset who is attracted to the same sex with him or her. And we shy away from saying this in the church. Now, let me say this. There's everything wrong when you're attracted to this. You know what I mean? Attracted. Emotionally, sexually attracted. The person you say you want to marry, that is your ring, is a gender like you. There's a problem. Now, let me put a caveat to that. I can tell you for free, in the nearest few weeks into a month, we're going to have people who have that mindset amongst us. Amen. Is it Is it okay? I can tell you for free, there are some I've discipled already. And there are people who have that mindset that will still join gospel as a church. What you don't do is to give them a special role. Just add them at the door. Who are you? That's your role. Just go to the back. That's your role. Then no. Right? What does God's word do? God's word will find a man like that or a woman like that and work on the heart. Are we together? Right? So the goal is they will join and become members that way. But we don't expect them to remain that way 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, and we have them come and praise and worship. There's a problem with that. One of the things, the problem we have in our world is we, because a lot of us, we as pastors, we are cloud chasing. You know what cloud is? Yeah? We're looking for acceptance from the people. A celebrity joins your church, and before you know it, the next Sunday, the celebrity is already leading people in the church. A celebrity we all know. You think if a, let me not call any name, but you think if a celebrity joins God's palace, the next Sunday they will start leading. You know. So what do? We make sure we snap the celebrity. When the celebrity is doing like this, we snap them and post on our Instagram page. What am I looking for? There's no other way to say it. I've noticed celebrities in a lot of our churches are the front pages of our Instagram posts. Yeah? So can a celebrity be a born-again Christian? So if we have a celebrity, who we all know is a celebrity, and we know the lifestyle is a celebrity, and we reach the celebrity, and we know the celebrity doesn't have a long journey into the darkness of this world, you can join choir in another few months. All together. But not because you have a voice. That is why the church must begin to understand that the best of people with skills are not the people who put a leadership position. The best of people with skills are not the best of people with need of the instruments. I'll tell you again. when we begin to pay a people in the church, we call them instrumentalists. When we begin to pay instrumentalists to play in the church, we begin to lose the purpose of what the church is. On what account are you paying the pianist that you're not paying the usher? Why are you paying a drummer? And the person that's controlling traffic outside is not being paid. There's nothing wrong in supporting the pianist in his rent, supporting the pianist, but to say you are on a payroll, is anything wrong with that? There are a lot of people who come for me for that, but you know it is that I don't even hear them. Yeah. If you cannot cope with it, you go for a church where they will pay you. Yeah. Why do you think I work the way I work? It's 9 to 6 or 9 to 7, sometimes every day, Monday to Friday. Yeah. You know, I could have decided to say, all of you, come and pay me salary every week. I know money you don't work for is sweeter. Then, but you know, I have the authority to say, I can use an authority to say, all of you, give me 50 pounds this month. And I will earn more than, yeah? Understand? So why am I walking the way I'm walking in the secular world? So for you to see an example to follow. So if a pianist comes here and doesn't have a job, not everybody will have a job at the same time. What do you do? You look at your pastor, who is also laboring in the world and has a job, and you go get a job. Are we together? You know, sometimes I used to say this thing. I've never said this year before. Yeah? If you look through my calendar, look how busy my schedule is as a pastor, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. You'll be super shocked. A lot of times, I remember a few weeks ago, my wife looked at me and said, don't you get overwhelmed. You'll be shocked. Be short. A lot of times I'll be in meetings back to back, big meetings back to back, having conversation. I just spoke to someone here over the last week, and I was on a meeting in my office. They were talking their own. Eh? But I owed them a conversation. Right? And the reason I did it that time, because I know my calendar, because I think that was probably a day before. You know, I came from London this morning. I see me here now this one. I went to London on Friday. Came back yesterday, flight delayed, got into Edinburgh this morning, and I'm here. And guess what? My day is still busy till 10 p.m. tonight, because I have a meeting with Nigerian church leaders at about 7 this evening. I have two members, I have to do something around between church ends at 2 and 7 when that meeting starts. And tomorrow I'm back to work by what? 9 a.m. You don't have excuses. You don't have excuses. You know, I always tell you, when you see the things that other people are doing that are in tighter positions than you are, you know you don't have an experience. You know, so when you see someone who comes and says, oh, the church cannot have, nowadays, instrumentalists now say, this church cannot afford, what an insult. So we now pay instrumentalists, we pay singers, and they come and do, hallelujah. The church is not the place where the best voices need to be heard. The church is the place where a pure heart needs to be heard. You can have a pure heart and a good voice, but the most important is not the good voice, it is the pure heart. Did you get that? That's the most important. It's not the good voice, it's the pure heart. So Paul will say, there is neither what? Jew nor Greek. What does that mean? They're neither male or female. What does that mean? I'll try to just explain that male or female. It means that when it comes to the reality in Christ, we don't identify people based on their gender. So we don't say the pastor of the church has to be a man. You get that? You get that? Right? We don't say the person that has to lead that fellowship must be a man. That's why subconsciously we've put some relegations on our sisters. Right? What is wrong in a man leading the children's church? Yeah? What is wrong in a man leading the children's church? Then you can say, okay, women are the ones that are more empathetic. Ah, but when a man gives birth to a child, will he not learn how to take care of a child? Yeah? What makes it, why do we feel like women must be ushers? They're men, protocol. Are we together? What says that a man must be the one that plays the piano? What stops a man from playing the piano? You know, so we need to be careful to understand that in the resurrection, there is something that has happened to us. We are now in a relationship, and we can't afford to amplify the things that would differ from pillar to post. That's why I always tell you, not everybody in the local church will earn the same amount of salary. It doesn't work that way. No matter how solid your pastor is, there will be those that will be managers. There will be those that will be analysts. There will be those that will be engineers. There will be those that will be what? Customer service officers. You must prioritize and know that. See, begin to own the things you do with your full chest. Nobody really actually is looking at... So we give ourselves time frame. If by this age, I've not done this, I'm a failure. Who said that to you? If at this age, I've not achieved this. Right? If at this age, I've not done this. If at this age, I'm hearing the name Antonia. Who is that person? Who happened to know the name Antonia? Somewhere around my right hand side. Who is that person? Amongst any of you. Who is Antonia? Think about it. Think about it quickly. Who is Antonia? Okay, well, yeah, we'll pick it up from there. If you remember, let me know. Yeah. Is that you? Where is she? Is she in the UK? Is there another person here with Antonia in the UK? Tonia. Okay. Okay, we'll come back to that. But you need to understand that. What I'm saying is for that person. Yeah, what I'm saying is for that person. There's an undue pressure on that person. And that person has built that pressure in their heart because of what they've seen. So, the devil tries to make you relegate everything you must have achieved in your life because of that one thing, and you relegate everything in the trash as a gain because of that one thing you think you've not achieved. And we bring that mindset into the church. We're together. So we must understand that in the real sense, we must be able to prioritize the fact that we are united by God's Spirit. We're together. Yeah. How many of you love long distance relationships? Let me see that. You love long, you're like you are born for it. you are born for long distance relationships. Let me see that. Even those who claim to be okay with long distance relationships, they are craving something. It's just that what they are craving at that time is not what you might think about. Altogether. So what am I really saying? Right? The community in the local, the community of the church, or the community that is given to us by the resurrection, is a community where we crave interactions. Okay, let's assume we love long-distance relationships. How many of you love to go for 1 week without speaking to your wife or your husband? You just love it. Yeah? Yeah? You just love it. You just love it. I can stay 1 year without speaking to my husband. Altogether. Right? So there's a sense of coming together, craving talking, craving interactions, craving physical meetings. That's why Hebrews will say, do not forsake the gathering together. Why? Because the goal of our gathering is to provoke ourselves unto love and good works. Did you get that? The goal of our gathering is for us to see an example to provoke ourselves. To provoke ourselves. To provoke ourselves unto what? The love work and good works. All together. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 19. Ephesians 2 verse 19. It says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers. Hey there, Ephesians 2 verse 19. Ye are no more strangers. And what? Ephesians 2 verse 19. Dear saints, are you there? Ye are no more strangers and what? Foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? The chief cornerstone. So it means that the body of Christ doesn't have strangers again. So look at it though. Every one of us, we are all foreigners. We have now come together into the body, into unity with the Spirit, and we are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We are fellow what? Citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens with the saints. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are what? Named. Right? So we are called into a family that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Are we together? So there's neither free, there's neither bond. We are all saved. We are all born again. What he's saying is that we don't identify people as a local church or in the body of Christ based on being a master or being a slave. Why? Because not everybody will be a master. Are we together? And really, truly, not everybody will be a slave. Are we together? So the church is a place where look at 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There will be masters, there will be slaves. Are we together? Right? So not being a master to a very large extent is dependent on the curriculum that the world has put in place. So who determines the president of a country? The people. Yeah, I always say it this way. There are two ways to win an election in this world. You either win election by convincing the people. Or the second way is what? You convince the ballot boxes. That's why you know ballot boxes have minds. Are we together? Right? So people can win election by convincing the ballot boxes or convincing the people. That's the way it's done. Right? We don't need to bring God into the narrative of who is the president of our country. Somebody say, I'm president of God. This person God said is president of this country, for he's a man after my heart. Well, it will be good to have a man after God's heart. But for God to say, this is the man that must be. Why? Because it is political. It's political. So you must understand that we don't have those disparities. Now, if a president is a member of your church, for instance, if you are to give that man honor, what are you giving him honor as? A brother in the church. Right? Is there a place for the church to acknowledge his position as a president? Yes, sir. Because that man can say, this church don't meet again. And you will say it's persecution. Does the president have power to say that? He will say, this church don't meet again. That's the end. So what do we do? If he comes to church once, what do? We honor his office. Altogether, you know where you're massaging the ego, you're blowing brains. But there's a problem where every Sunday service, there's a problem. There's a problem. We've acknowledged your position as a governor. If you say you want to become a member of the local church, every Sunday going forward, we need to see the attitude of a disciple in you. Why? The Bible says there's neither free nor bond, neither male nor female. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13 now says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Yeah? And have been made to drink into what? One spirit. Verse 14 together, 1, 2, 3, go. For the body is not one member, but what? Men. What is bond of free? Bond of free, we speak about the ranks in the society. Are we together? Right? Bond of free, we speak about the bond will be like the low rank in the society. Free will be the what? Opposite of low rank in the society. Right? The rich and the poor will be those that have and those that don't have. We would always find them in the church. But we must understand that we have all drank into what? One spirit. Says, look at it again. And we'll be made to drink into one spirit of verse 13. So we have one spirit. One spirit. Now, this is where I'm going to close this teaching today. I'll continue on Wednesday. We now have one relationship with ourselves. And we call that relationship supernatural relationship. And I'm going to teach you further about that. We have a relationship with ourselves. And we call it supernatural relationships. So what's a supernatural relationship? It's a relationship amongst men that brings people from various spheres of life to be able to relate. I'll say it again. The supernatural relationship is the relationship of various men amongst men. People from various spheres of life starting to relate. Yeah. So we're starting today. What is God building? His church. What else can you say he's building? A community. So is that the universal community?
Yeah.
Is that a local community?
Yeah.
So are we all members of the universal community here?
Yeah.
With other believers?
Yeah.
Then we're all members of the local community here?
Yeah.
Right? Amongst ourselves? So it means that we have a supernatural relationship with the people that are sitting beside us. So the person sitting beside you is somebody you have a relationship with. Look at Hebrews quickly. Hebrews 2 verse 13. Look at Hebrews 2 verse 13. Hebrews 2:13. He says, "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children with which God has given." Wait, do you remember that scripture that says, "I and the children which God has given to me are for what? Are for signs and what? What?" I really do hope you know that scripture really is not for your immediate children. Amen. 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 We'll look at that next week. Yeah, I am the children Lord has given to me are for signs and wonders. Some children you have there, you will wonder. The signs you see will make you wonder. Yeah, wonder, 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 wonder. Yeah, so in Jerusalem, that scripture is about the resurrection. How do you look at it? It says, what verse did I just read now? Verse 13. If you go back to verse 11, for both he that sanctified, are you there? Both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified. So who is he that sanctifies? God, yeah, Jesus. So who are those that are sanctified? The church, we, right? Go back to verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons into glory. Now I said the word their sons is not male species. The word son should be viewed as one who has an inheritance. Yeah, and as I always tell you, when pastor says, say I'm a son of God, don't be saying I'm a daughter of God. Yeah, I'm not saying don't be saying. You don't have to say I'm a daughter of God. The reason you are saying I'm a daughter of God is because you think son is for male species. Son in the Bible is used for one who has an inheritance. Are we together? So it can be as much son and daughter. Yeah? You know that scripture that says our Father who art in heaven? Yeah? Father does not mean God is male. Eh? I hope you know that too. I've taught that before, right? Father does not mean God. So when we say our Father who art in heaven, we're not thinking of a male species. Are we together? Right? Father is the one that procreates, the progenitor. Are we together? So we can say our Father as well as our Mother, the many-breasted one. Hallelujah. So our God is our Father and our Father is our Mother. Yeah. So if you say our Father was in heaven, you can as well say our Mother was in heaven, but you don't need to. It's not necessary. Yeah. So he says, for it became him who made the captain of bring many sons unto glory to make the captain of resurrection perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of what? One. Verse 11. For which cause is not ashamed to what? Call you brethren. So is it call me brethren or call us brethren? Call us. That is call them. So what does Jesus call you? Bible says he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Are we together? Are we together? So what is the highest, let me say this clearly, what's the highest office amongst believers? It's the office of brethren. Are we together? It's the office of brethren. Some people think that calling your reverend apostle brother is a demoting of your reverend apostle. Are we together? Right? That's why you see, for instance, Peter will say, according to our brother Paul, as he has written in all his epistles, yeah, so calling yourselves or calling ourselves brother is not a demotion of any sort. He says, for this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare them unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me. You see that? So who is saying, I and the children which God had given me? Jesus now. Is in your Bible? Jesus is the one, I mean, he's saying, I'm sure you're giving me what? You're seeing it in relation to the Jesus that has his brethren. So when you see it in Isaiah, the children which the Lord has given to me are for signs and wonders. Who are the children? You and I. Yeah, you are the ones given to Christ by the resurrection. Are we together? Right, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death might destroy that the power of death, that is them, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime what? Subject to what? To bondage. So who are we? We are now brethren. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the first brother. So who is sitting beside you? The person sitting beside you is a brother. The person sitting beside you is a member of the brethrenhood that Jesus has given to mankind by the resurrection. So how do we relate to ourselves in the local church? We'll pick that up on Sunday. We relate to ourselves as what? Brethren in Christ. Yeah? That's why when you get to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1, what does it say? It says, let brotherly love continue. Before that verse, Hebrews 12, what does it say? For our God is a consuming fire. How many of you know that scripture? For our God is a consuming fire. And that's all of us want to use to destroy our CEO. Don't try me. God is a consuming fire. But the next statement after that is what? Let brotherly love continue. So what does the consuming fire of God consume? It consumes that which is not of his love. The consuming fire of God does not destroy men. Are we together? The consuming fire of God destroys. So when it says, why would Jesus say, why would Hebrews 13 say, let brotherly love continue? And because he has told you that Jesus is the first brother that extended a brotherly love to you. So he has extended his love to you. He now says, let it continue. Let it flow. Let it continue. Are we together? So how do we relate to ourselves in church? Right? That you are a doctor and you are an engineer. In the local church, we don't say engineer Esther. No! Amen? No. If you go to a local church and you don't want everybody to call you doctor, Dr. V, it happens. It happens. That's what I was telling you about the narrative of there was a brother who joined the church and they tried to say, let's welcome brother to the church. No, point of correction, I'm a doctor. Doesn't even make any sense. When all of us are calling ourselves brother, only you. Those people feel ashamed. But people know I'm not ashamed of this thing. So in the local church, what we don't do is what? We don't say, Sister Esther, Sister Stephanie, who are you? You are what? International businesser. Sister Esther, you are a lawyer. Barrister Esther. No, we don't call Sister Esther Barrister Esther in the church. You don't wish Sister Esther a happy birthday on our group chat and call her Barrister Esther. No, she's a Sister Esther. Trouble to the one who didn't go to the school. You hear that? So we don't segregate. Dr. John, how are you? No, you are Brother John. Once you leave the door, you become Dr. John. Once you're in the local church, you are Sister V. Altogether, you are Brother Posse. Altogether, why do I call you all brothers? Why do I call you all sisters? I remind myself that you are one of whom Christ died for. It makes me see you more as not a casual person, but one who Christ has died for. It doesn't mean that if I call you by your first name, I don't see you that way. No, I'm just saying for myself, I do it that way to remind myself about that. I was going to.